It's time once again for another episode of the Law and Medicine Show, being sponsored by the law firm of Princenthal and May. Broadcasting live from the Pro Business Channel studios in Atlanta. And now please welcome your host and their guest on today's episode.
Good morning. My name is Adam Princenthal. I'm a partner with the law firm of Princenthal and May. We're a firm representing people who have suffered serious personal injuries. We have offices in the Metro Atlanta area and West Georgia. We represent people who have suffered injuries as the result of all types of accidents, particularly cases involving premises liability. People have been injured on the premises of others and have been seriously injured. Today we have with us a special guest, Dr. David Wright, who's a mental health professional and treats patients using all types of psychoanalytic techniques. So today we're going to seek a little bit of a different perspective regarding personal injury, the injury or injuries involving mental or emotional injuries and treatment, therefore. And with that here, I'll introduce Dr. Wright and ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi. Well, good morning and thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Like you said, I attended medical school. I'm a physician, graduated from medical school in 2010. My primary emphases during medical school were forensic psychiatry, addiction medicine, addiction psychiatry, and geriatric psychiatry, and also neurology. After I graduated from medical school, instead of doing a traditional residency in psychiatry, I decided instead to study under and work for the top psychiatrist in the state, Dr. Todd Anton. He also has the largest psychiatric practice in the state, which is PACT Atlanta. And PACT Atlanta sees a number of different types of patients. I do two different types of work. Number one, I have my own practice. I'm board certified in NLP. As an NLP practitioner, board certified as a hypnotherapist, and I'm also board certified as a timeline therapy practitioner. And so I treat all different types of patients with all types of mental disabilities, diagnoses, et cetera, ranging from bipolar disorder to depression to PTSD to anxiety disorders, et cetera. The approaches that I use are psychoanalytic in nature, and they're holistic. So they don't involve medications. I don't prescribe medications or anything like that. When I do have patients who do need more traditional types of therapy, then I refer those to Dr. Anton and PACT Atlanta. The consulting work that I do for Dr. Anton is forensic in nature. And so Dr. Anton, as I said, is the top psychiatrist in the state, and he's quadruple board certified in addiction psychiatry, forensic psychiatry, geriatric psychiatry, and adult psychiatry. And so he sees a lot of different types of patients from a variety of backgrounds, and he also does a lot of consulting work in forensic cases involving people who've been injured in auto accidents, people who have pain conditions, people who have pain disorders, addictions, et cetera. So I do a lot of different things.
Okay. Well, thank you. And you covered a lot there, and I definitely want to come back and hit on some of the points you made and fill in some of the details there. But let me just start off by asking you, you talked about graduating from medical school. I think you attended Xavier University. Is
yes,
that correct?
And
that's where
I did.
You obtained your medical degree. What attracted you to the psychiatric side of medicine versus any other field within medicine?
Well, unlike some medical school students who aren't quite sure what they wanted to do, I always knew that I wanted to go into mental health. And initially, I had planned on specifically going into psychiatry. But I actually discovered I started reading about and learning about psychoanalysis in college. And, the father of psychiatry is Sigmund Freud. And Milton Erickson is actually one of the grandfathers of NLP and hypnotherapy. And, so I noticed and started reading about how two of the top psychiatrists in history used excuse me, medications, but they also used a lot of techniques to help take a natural, holistic approach towards helping patients with pain conditions and everything else. And so I guess it was at that point that I decided I wanted to pursue that. After I finished medical school, I took a look at just kind of the spectrum of medicine and the way that things are going. And I think a lot of consumers are basically looking at things from a natural, holistic approach. And so more and more consumers are looking for natural ways to remedy their ailments, natural ways to treat conditions, and those types of things. And so I wanted to be available to provide a niche for patients who didn't want to necessarily try medications, who wanted to try other ways of solving their dilemmas.
Okay. And for those listeners out there who aren't as familiar with that field of medicine here, maybe you can just give us a little bit of an explanation of the difference between psychiatry and psychoanalysis. In other words, a different type of treatment that a psychiatrist would provide versus a psychoanalyst.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, psychiatry has changed a lot over time. And so, during the time of Freud, psychiatrists not only prescribed drugs, but they spent a lot of time actually talking with patients, doing therapies that didn't necessarily involve medications, although they have used medications, into what we have today, where I think psychiatry is largely associated with psychotropic drugs. And so it's more typical for a patient to go in and see a psychiatrist today and have a 15-minute med check, that type of thing, a 20-minute med check, a 30-minute med check. And although they may talk about certain things, one of the primary purposes is medication management. What I do is a little bit different because, one of the backbones of medicine, neurology, and psychiatry is that everything emanates from the brain, from the mind. And so, for instance, if you take someone's arm, the feeling that they have in their arm, the pain that they feel in their arm, all of that emanates from the brain. It just doesn't start in that limb. It starts in the brain and ends in the brain. The same thing is true with a lot of psychiatric conditions. When you're talking about depression or anxiety, you're talking about neurotransmitter systems, neural networks, and medications aren't the only method to actually alter those networks to help enable a patient to lead a normal life. You can actually use other techniques like hypnosis and like NLP to actually change states, change brain waves to actually come out with similar outcomes.
Okay, and you've mentioned NLP here a couple of times. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
So NLP, NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. And so basically neuro as in brain, linguistic as in language, and programming. And so basically the premise of NLP is that we have a program for everything. So if you think of it as if a child learns to do something, a child learns to stack blocks, or a child learns to manipulate a knife and fork to eat, or a child learns to roll a ball, basically its mind is building a program. It doesn't have a program for that, so it has to build those things, just like you would add an application. So if you're on a computer, that's the analogy I like to use, like a computer. A lot of times, if you buy a computer, it may not come with Microsoft Office, or it may not come with WordPerfect, or it may not come with QuickBooks, but you add that software on when you're ready to use it. But the software is not necessarily already there. The same is true with the human body. We have the hardware available, most of the hardware, but we actually have to create the software. And our interactions with the environment allow us to create the software that allows us to be successful or unsuccessful in the environment.
Okay, so if you're treating a patient who has some sort of mental health issue, and they're dealing with this mental health issue, how might you use the psychoanalytic technique of NLP or any of the others to help that patient deal with their particular issue?
So that involves changing a state. So there's several different ways that you can treat mental health conditions. You can use medications. You can use traditional, what I call talk therapy, which is mindfulness, basically. Or you can use something like NLP or hypnotherapy. Hypnotherapy and NLP actually involve changing brain waves to achieve a different outcome. And it actually involves getting in touch with the subconscious mind, the part of our mind that kind of operates on automatic pilot. So that part of our brain might tell us to feel this way or that way, to feel startled, to feel depressed, to feel anxious, and we might not even be consciously aware of it. Through the use of NLP and hypnotherapy, you can actually change the state, create a meditative flow, and actually change the brain waves to achieve a new set of outcomes for a patient.
Are there any objective studies or ways to measure these brain waves that show that talk therapy or NLP or all these other types of techniques are actually successful in helping a patient change the brain waves and therefore change their outlook or feelings or issues that they're dealing with?
Yes, there are. There are tons of studies out there that help validate the fact that they are able to change states. One of the foremost physicians right now is Dr. Deepak Chopra. And I don't know if you know a lot about Deepak Chopra, but he's written a number of books. He's considered an expert in a lot of different things. But traditional allopathic medicine has been very strict in the past. But now, as we learn more about the brain and about pain and about psychiatric conditions, we have the technology to actually see what things actually can change brain waves and change metabolism. And so, you know, there are scans and different studies that you can actually do while somebody is, for instance, meditating or under hypnosis and actually see changes in the waves of the brain, and you can see different areas light up because of those changes. And so there are ways to actually validate that something's actually happening.
Okay. And so can a patient who undergoes such a scan either before beginning this type of therapy or early on in the process have a scan later on and see a change that's a lasting or permanent change as opposed to changes that are occurring in the brainwaves while the patient is in the midst of meditating or going through this process, but can you see actual change over time that lasts based being revealed on these studies?
Absolutely. And one of the ways that I actually help my patients to achieve those lasting changes is consistency. Whether you're talking about medicine or you're talking about law or you're talking about learning or anything else, consistency is always the key. And so I always encourage my patients that we're a team, and I'm kind of like a coach. And, I'm not just telling them what to do. We're working together to achieve a goal that they want and desire to achieve. And so in that sense, I have my patients to continue to do things outside of the visits from seeing me. So it's not a circumstance where they just come to the office, get a treatment, i.e. hypnotherapy or NLP or, et cetera, and just leave and just go back to whatever they were doing before. They actually have to do things on a regular basis to help keep that state. And once it becomes a regular habit, then it's long lasting.
Okay. Well, I want to switch gears here slightly from talking about your practice and the methods and treatments that you use in general and sort of switch it to how it might apply to clients of mine or other clients who've suffered some type of personal injury and what type of treatment might you provide to people who've suffered a serious personal injury or perhaps even the loss of a loved one as the result of some accident or incident? What type of conditions do you see arising out of those types of incidences?
Right. So actually, especially in the consulting work that I do for Pact Atlanta, we see a lot of patients who are referred by an attorney or some other method that has to do with an injury that occurred. It might be an auto injury. It might be some other type of injury. It might be a home invasion, et cetera. There are a lot of different things that can alter someone's level of anxiety, either at baseline or in special circumstances. So if you take, for instance, a condition like PTSD, there are triggers that people with PTSD have. So, for instance, if somebody was in a severe car accident, you know, a trigger for them might be getting in a car or being on the highway. If you have someone who was subjected to a home invasion or held at gunpoint, et cetera, their trigger might be a door opening or a door closing or a noise out in the yard, that type of thing. So we can actually work with those triggers to reduce the impact that they have. And so if you can do that in special circumstances, then you can also lower the baseline level of anxiety and startle response that someone has.
Okay. So, and for those who may not know, PTSD, which you've referred to as post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
And for instance, my firm, again, I mentioned we represent a lot of people who have been injured in cases arising out of some sort of premises liability, which would include negligent security. So someone who's been subjected to some sort of criminal act while on another's premises, maybe they were a guest in a hotel or at a shopping center and were sexually assaulted or what have you, that type of incident obviously can give rise to physical injuries.
Absolutely.
You also see mental injuries associated with that and could result in PTSD.
Absolutely.
And what, I guess, let me ask you, I don't know if you're able to quantify it or not, but what is the sort of success rate or percentage of people that you see, you know, achieving success through the therapies you provide when they're dealing with PTSD?
Yeah, well, that is a very tough question. I mean, I suppose you could ask that question in a lot of different disciplines.
Right.
But, you know, for PTSD, in terms of success right now, I can't give you specifics on statistics. That would be something that I would like, that I would need to research and get back to you about. But what I can tell you is that there have been lots of studies that have been done that actually show that certain types of therapies help patients with PTSD. And, you know, I don't want to lump everyone into the same category. You have soldiers returning Sure. from wars who have PTSD. You have someone who maybe was a victim of sexual assault or physical assault at their home or some other place. You know, you might have someone who was in a serious car accident. So, you know, you can't just lump every patient Sure. with PTSD in the same category.
Maybe it was an unfair question on my part, and perhaps I need to kind of refine it because I really wasn't necessarily looking for a percentage of people who are quote-unquote cured. I guess really what I was looking to have you talk a little bit more about was for someone who might be suffering from PTSD, whether it's a soldier returning from war or, you know, a woman who was assaulted in an apartment complex, which, you know, was the where they have a long history of criminal activity and no security. Either way, when someone develops PTSD, is that the type of condition that one that you as a doctor would expect a patient to sort of overcome and be done with? Or is that something that the patient is going to deal with basically on a lifelong basis, maybe improve, but have to continue to be vigilant about their mental health?
Right. So when patients come to see me, I sort of put patients in a couple of different categories. So there are patients who immediately that I can assess that I can treat alone, you know. Then there are other patients who are beyond the scope of what I do. And in those instances, I will actually refer them to PACT Atlanta or, you know, a psychiatrist, et cetera. And those patients might actually need medication management, or they might need other specific techniques to actually help them with PTSD, like exposure therapies and different things like that. So it really does depend on the patient. But there are assessments that you can actually do to see the level of PTSD that someone has. And that gives you kind of a better idea of where to start. Okay.
What about, and we've spoken about PTSD here for a while. Let me ask about a different condition maybe associated, or I guess some patients may suffer from both, but depression.
And absolutely.
Specifically, again, sort of focusing in on people I may be representing and the types of cases I handle, depression that's associated with some sort of personal injury, and particularly maybe chronic pain that's the result of an injury. Let's say someone who's been injured in a bad car wreck, has undergone a few surgeries, and is now going to live with chronic pain for the rest of her life. What type of treatment might you provide to a patient like that, and you know, what type of results might you expect to see?
Right. Well, unfortunately, in a lot of circumstances like that, a lot of patients, victims of accidents, actually do need long-term therapy, you know, especially depending on the severity of the accident, the severity of the injuries. So, you know, there have been a number of studies that show that that different techniques like NLP and like hypnotherapy can actually help patients to have lower amounts of pain, to improve their mood over a long term. Some other patients specifically need a combination of therapies. They might need physical therapy. They might need psychotropic medications to help. So it depends on the level of depression. So, like, for instance, if you look at it on a scale, there are some people who have what's called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. And basically it's people who, during the wintertime, because of the decreased incidence of sunlight, get mildly depressed. A patient like that might actually go, you know, to their local grocery store and try an herb like St. John's wort that might help with depression. You know, in another situation where you have somebody who's in a serious accident, they've had multiple surgeries, they don't have the lifestyle that they used to have, they don't have the mobility that they used to have, they may have had to sacrifice their career, you know, those types of different things. Patients like that might actually need, you know, psychotropic agents to be prescribed by a licensed psychiatrist to help. However, they can also benefit from augmentative therapies. You know, meditation is something that actually really, really helps. And so there have been studies that have been done that actually show that things like acupuncture, acupressure, meditation, yoga can actually help patients with depression. And there are also some new techniques out there. So one of the new techniques actually that that they use at Pact Atlanta is TMS.
What is that?
And that's transmagnetic stimulation. Transmagnetic stimulation, DBS, deep brain stimulation. And basically, it's actually, it looks like something out of Star Trek. But basically, the patient sits in a chair. They put this helmet on. And these computers do things to send different waves to the brain, and actually it shows a high level of efficacy. In fact, that technique has recently been approved by major insurance plans. And so now, whereas before it used to be self-pay on the part of the patient, now it's being covered by insurance companies all over the place because there are objective studies that actually show that it can cause permanent remission of depression. And they offer that right at Pact Atlanta.
And that sort of brings up an interesting point. And you may not know the answer to this, and perhaps you do. What's your experience in as to whether or not insurance companies pay for the type of treatment and therapy that you provide? This, I guess, what would fall under the umbrella of what you've referred to as augmented therapy versus the psychotropic. I mean, we know insurance companies will usually cover, you know, someone going to a doctor and getting a prescription for.
Right.
Some sort of antidepressant or psychiatric drug or a pain, you know, a narcotic pain reliever that's generally covered on the most plans. But what about the types of therapies you provide? You know, you just mentioned TMS and DBS, but what about the others you've mentioned previously, NLP, hypnotherapy, et cetera?
Right, and that's where it gets a little bit trickier. Some insurance plans will pay for hypnotherapy. It depends, and it depends on the environment in the state. So, for instance, if you're in a state like California that – has a strong embrace of more holistic, naturopathic methods, insurance plans there may pay for it. In other states, they may not. Another thing is even plans that don't pay for it, they may reimburse patients for parts of the expense. You know, the thing that I do to help my patients afford my services, regardless of whether insurance pays it or not, is I provide financing. And so I offer in-house financing. Number one, I offer a free initial consultation to any patient, and there's no real time limit on that. I kind of use a gauge, but usually 30 minutes to an hour and a half. It's totally free. It's no loss to them at all. And then I offer 0% financing. So if someone comes to me and they say, well, you know, I'm already seeing a psychiatrist, I'm receiving this medication, but I'd like a little bit more help, and I'm afraid what's going to happen after I come off the medication. What am I going to do then? Then I'll say, come see me. We'll come out with a treatment plan and everything. And they say, well, you know, I just don't know how I can afford this. And I'll say, well, can you afford $100 a month? Can you afford $200 a month? I'll finance it. So my, you know, my kind of agreement with patients is I'm going to make it affordable for you. I just want to make sure you're ready to get the help that you need. Okay. So,
all right. Well, it's wonderful. And the patient, you're seeing patients here in Atlanta. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And you mentioned PACT Atlanta, where you work, I guess, with Dr. Anton is, and you
yes.
work with him. And PACT Atlanta also is here in the city of Atlanta.
In Decatur. Yeah, in Decatur, Georgia.
Is that PACT?
Uh-huh. Yeah, like right. as in a pact.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Dr. Wright, I appreciate your time today. I think it was very informative for me. I hope it was for the listeners. Again, I'm Adam Princenthal of Princenthal of May. We treat people who have been seriously injured as the result of the negligence of others. And we particularly focus on premises liability cases involving all types of underlying negligence, from negligent security to dangerous conditions or hazards on the premises of others, from hotels, shopping centers, apartment complexes, what have you. Many of our clients, all of our clients have suffered some sort of bodily injury typically, but many of them also suffer some sort of mental injury or emotional injury that goes along with that. And unfortunately, I hate to say this, in the past, I haven't been as focused on, you know, really, developing that side of the case and making sure my clients are getting the treatment they may need there. Sometimes we do, but that's an aspect of the case that's often overlooked, I think, by attorneys. And so I think we need to focus on that more in the future. So I appreciate your time today. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you again for joining us and our guests on the Law and Medicine Show. Use the social media links here to share today's show and stay tuned for the next episode of the Law and Medicine Show, brought to you by the law firm of Princenthal and May. To connect with the show's sponsor, visit PrinceMay.com. And to listen to previous broadcasts, visit LawandMedicineShow.com.